Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paul Douglas, Adam Carter, back with you on a Thursday. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for making this part of your day. We take nothing for granted. Jordana has the day off. She'll be back tomorrow. Tried not to watch CNBC today. Tried not to check my phone. Oh, man. Is it cause for panic? Is it time to take a deep breath? Is this a buying opportunity? Was the market overly frothy? All kinds of questions out there, a lot of concern. Not everybody concerned, but, you know, a fair amount of concern out there with money that people have in their 401ks, their retirement accounts. Even if you don't have money in the stock market, it goes to overall confidence levels. How concerned should we be? We need some perspective, stuff you're not going to get from an app on your phone. So we called up Dave Wilson, a columnist for Bloomberg, to weigh in and hopefully have a kumbaya moment here on the air and tell us what we should be concerned about and what is just noise. Dave, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome. I'll do my best with the kumbaya part.
Is it a little hard singing kumbaya today? What is your reaction as somebody who's very well versed in the markets? Was this a long time coming? Should we be surprised?
Well, arguably not, because let's face it, we've seen over the last couple of years, really, you know, you get these periods where, you know, stocks really don't move all that much from day to day. And then, boom, we saw it in late January, early February. And so to see it again in October, well, it does have a familiar look to it. What's interesting this time around is the timing, because we're about to get third quarter results from U.S. companies. In fact, three of the four biggest financial companies, Citigroup, JPMorgan Chase, and Wells Fargo, are all on schedule to report tomorrow. So, you know, you have to wonder, given the sell-off of the last couple of days, whether it just gives these companies the ability to bounce back if their numbers meet up or beat what the analysts are looking for here.
Those numbers, how critical are the results tomorrow as to what we might see happen on Friday and then Monday again on the to the markets?
Well, they will no doubt help set things up, because you're talking about companies that really are sort of out there trading, and we know that business kind of slowed down, actually, in the last couple months. I mean, it's typical for this time of year, but it may be, as much as anything, what they have to say about their outlook for this quarter and going into next year. And, you know, if you think about what people are going to be looking for from companies more broadly, that is clearly part of it, because, you know, you have to have a sense of all these issues that are floating around: higher interest rates, trade issues, higher commodity costs, higher labor costs, higher transportation costs. I mean, to what extent are they going to affect companies' profitability? I mean, that is a question that analysts and investors are going to be looking for answers to.
David, is it just that the multiples for tech companies specifically are too high? I realize, you know, the stock price, it's really a promise of future earnings. But is it just that the tech companies can't sustain the levels of growth? I mean, what are some of the other fundamentals here that are behind this slide?
Well, I mean, technology companies are part of the mix, no question. But actually, if you look at today's trading in the S&P 500, technology stocks held up relatively well. I mean, financial companies really took the hit. So, I mean, that was interesting. I mean, given the fact that you've seen interest rates, you know, treasury bond and note yields go up, and, you know, these financial companies, as a rule, stand to benefit from it, because they can earn more down the line on their loans and investments. So, I mean, that's really a surprise here. As far as tech goes, I mean, it's clear that, you know, if you think about the Apples and the Amazons and, you know, if you will, the FANG stocks of the world, which throws in Facebook and Netflix. Netflix and Google's parent Alphabet, they have been market leaders for some time. So, you know, if you get any faltering in those stocks, I mean, people notice because they're so big as companies and they've been so important to the gains we've seen in the last few years.
Talking to David Wilson, he's a columnist with Bloomberg, a second straight big sell-off on Wall Street. But if we look, David, I think we've got 6 days in a row of losses. When do we start getting really concerned about this, or we're not at that point yet?
Well, I mean, one thing that got people's attention is what happened today with the S&P 500. There's an indicator called a 200-day moving average, which basically looks back over like 9 months of trading or so to give people an idea what the market's trend has been. And we've seen this moving average rising along with the market. Well, today, you know, the index closed below the moving average for the first time since April, so going back 6 months. So once you see that sort of thing happen, if nothing else, it gives people pause to kind of say, all right, are things really different now than they've been the last few years? I mean, we won't know the answer to that for some time, but at least what we're seeing with stocks kind of raises questions that really hadn't come up sort of front and center in the past few months.
David, are there larger structural issues here related to debt? Specifically the federal debt, or is that something that may not manifest itself for years to come? I guess we can keep on printing money, but I mean, at what point does that catch up with us, or is this more a reaction to concerns about China, as you said, trade, tariffs, and higher interest rates? If you had to weigh what went into this correction, what do you think was first and foremost, if anything?
Well, I mean, that's always a challenge to kind of, you know, sort through the influences and, you know, what you're referring to, certainly what we've been hearing from investors and analysts about what's going on. But if you think about the debt question, it's not so much necessarily even the government debt, because after all, as you mentioned, they can print more money and deal with it that way. It's corporate debt. I mean, you've had companies borrow for all kinds of reasons in the past several years and, you know, increase their burdens from debt. A lot of that money has gone to buy back stock, which is not something that, you know, you're necessarily seeing going back years or decades. So, you know, it kind of raises the question of, you know, what kind of financial shape are companies really in now? And on top of that, you look at the gap in yields between corporate and government debt. So in other words, how much more are investors willing to accept if they're going to take the risk of going into companies. We've seen those yield gaps really narrow to levels you haven't seen in some time. So there's a lot that people are looking for out of companies. And then the question comes up of, can they deliver? You see the reaction.
David, we've got the president criticizing the Fed again, saying the Fed has gone crazy. What impact does that have on the markets?
I don't know that necessarily has a lot, because the Federal Reserve is clearly on a path at this point. I mean, we heard the other day from Chairman Jay Powell talking about how he's, you know, confident in the outlook for the economy, which suggests that perhaps you know, in December you get another interest rate increase and maybe more after that next year. So, you know, it's going to take a lot to really dissuade the central bank from moving. And, you know, some criticism from the president, well, I mean, you can understand where it's coming from, but you can also understand that maybe it doesn't have a lot of effect in the long run.
Hey, David, last question here. Any sage words of wisdom? I realize you're not a financial planner, but if your aunt called you today and said, hey, David, what should I do? I'm concerned. My portfolio is down X. What would you tell her?
Well, the one thing I suppose I'd point out is if you look at the S&P 500 index, it's back to where it was 3 months ago. And we've been in a bull market in stocks for 9.5 years. I mean, right. People get so concerned that they try to move out, and, you know, you run the risk of sort of missing out on the rebound. I mean, certainly, you know, there was people who were concerned in January and February when stocks were taking a hit, and here we are. I mean, we've seen records on the S&P 500, at least before this week. So, you know, you can't time the market and expect to succeed.
David, thanks for calming our fears today. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you, David.
Yeah, that's David from Bloomberg. And like you said, Paul, I mean, people get kind of jumpy, but that also we always got to remember there's opens up some opportunities for others to get in when, you know, the market's been going so good for so long that a lot of people probably don't see those opportunities available.
Yeah, has anything structurally changed in the last 48 hours? I think the answer is no. I know we've got the low-grade concerns about what's happening with China, but it's worth pointing out, I think we do, what, 25% of our international trade with China, 75% is internal here in the United States and with Europe. So as long as we have deals tied up with Canada and Mexico, a lot of experts say, yeah, of course it's a cause for concern what's happening in China, but ultimately we could weather that storm. But by the way, plug for Bloomberg Business Week. Yeah. I don't get many magazines anymore. I don't know how many magazines you get at home.
Not as many as I used to. Sports Illustrated was the only one that I'd always get, and I would love to get a fresh magazine every week. But no, I don't.
Do you still get that?
I don't, and I kind of miss it. You know, the fresh Sports Illustrated getting that. I think it used to come on Thursday of every week, and sadly, I don't get that anymore.
You know, and that perspective, and there's still something nice, and maybe I'm an old fogey here for admitting this out loud, but something nice about paging through, and it's just a different experience than staring at a screen.
Right.
And I stare at a lot of screens like you do every day, a lot of screens, but there's something nice about taking a break and having a newspaper or having a magazine, flipping the pages. It's a different way of sort of absorbing and assimilating, aggregating, if you will, the information. But I get Bloomberg Business Week, I get National Geographic, a couple of car magazines, and that's pretty much it. I used to get like dozens of different magazines, and Wired. I get Wired because that gets me pumped up about tech in the future, but
Speaking of getting pumped up, Kanye West makes a visit to the Oval Office today, Paul. And we've got some crazy quotes, and I'm going to give you a little trivia on what Kanye said to the president. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss it. That's coming up next. It's 422. Paul Douglas, Adam Carter filling in for Jordana Green today. Stay tuned. This is WCCO.
I was connected with a neuropsychologist that works with the athletes in the NBA and the NFL. And he looked at my brain. It's equal on three parts. I'm going to go ahead, drop some bombs for you. 98 percentile IQ test. I had a 75 percentile of all human beings, but it was counting eight numbers backwards off there as repeating. So I'm going to work on that one. The other one's 98%, Tesla, Freud, you know. So he said that I actually wasn't bipolar. I had sleep deprivation, which could cause dementia 10 to 20 years from now, where I wouldn't even remember my son's name.
You know, it's not often when you're in a room with the president of the United States, Donald Trump, where you're able to A, get in a word edgewise, B, you'd be able to talk for that long, but that's what that was. That was Kanye West today in the Oval Office, sitting across the desk from President Trump, also NFL legend Jim Brown also there, and they're surrounded by these reporters, and that was just a sampling of the things that Kanye said today during that meeting with President Trump. Paul, I don't know, did you get a chance to see much else what Kanye had to say today?
I did not.
Good.
I saw some of the I heard some of the clips. I want to keep my mental hygiene
because
preserved.
I've got some trivia for you. I was hoping you were going to say no because I've got some of the. That was just one of the cuts that we had today. One of the things that Kanye said. So I'm going to read you another quote. And you've got two options. It's either Kanye talking to the president today, or the other option, it's something that Nicolas Cage said at one point in his life.
Okay.
And I want to see how good you get. First, here's the first quote. You are tasting a fine wine. It has complex notes to it. And this is him referring to himself. Was that Kanye or was that Nicolas Cage?
I'm going to say that was Kanye.
That was Kanye. Very good. Starting out there. You're one for one. How about this one?
Okay.
I am not a demon. I am a lizard, a shark, a heat-seeking panther. I want to be Bob Denver on acid playing the accordion. Was that Kanye West to President Trump, or was that Nicolas Cage?
For the love of God, I hope that was Nicolas Cage.
You're right. You're two for two. Very good. But cool. You had to think about it, though,
it's
right?
Close. It was very close. I had to think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here's another one. I think it's no secret that I've tried to take chances in my career and also in my life, and I believe to not live in fear. was that Kanye West, was that Nicolas Cage?
That sounds like something Kanye would say.
No, I'm sorry. That was Nicolas Cage.
That
Nicolas
was Cage? Cage?
That was Nick. Ah. That was finally, one more here. My dad and mom separated, so there's not a lot of male energy in my home. And I'm also married to a family where, you know, there's not a lot of male energy. It's beautiful, though. Kind of a hint in that one.
It's beautiful. Not a lot of male energy. I hope that's Kanye.
That's Kanye. Just a little sampling today. Also a Kanye talking to the president saying, this is our president. He has to be the freshest, the flyest planes, the best factories, and we have to make our core be in power. I know that's something you say all the time, isn't it?
No. Tell me. Did the president give Kanye a Superman cape?
He did, in the form of a hat, I think.
Oh, okay.
That was another quote I had, and I was going to try to stump you with that, because Nicolas Cage, big fan of Superman. I think he was going to play Superman at one point in his career.
Yes, yeah.
But yeah, that was a...
Really?
Yeah. There was something about when I put this hat on, it made me feel like Superman. You made a Superman. That's my favorite superhero. You made a Superman cape for me.
And imagine, this was essentially at least a 7-minute, at least the video I saw, at least 7 straight minutes of Kanye monologuing, sitting across from the president in the Oval Office at the Resolute desk, with the whole side of the room filled with reporters snapping pictures constantly, while Kanye wears the MAGA hat and just does this stream of consciousness thing. It was
including
really
some language that had
some language
bleeped out.
Yeah.
So it's not every day you hear that kind of language coming from the Oval Office. But just another surreal moment in what has been a surreal couple of years.
Adam, it almost makes me feel sorry for the mainstream press. I mean, what questions do you ask?
I have no idea. I mean,
or do you just... You just stare and wonder.
I think you just stare and wonder, and I think what can you ask? I
mean, let him go. Yeah,
you're getting gold.
You can't get a word in edgewise.
Right,
so.
You can't really
take it all in.
You don't want to disrupt it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
you did pretty good.
Whatever
on that.
Gets you through the day.
I'm surprised you did pretty good on that. I thought I could fool you there with
three
who
for
said
one.
It?
That's pretty.
Who
three
said
one?
It?
That's pretty good for a weather guy.
Nicolas Cage or Kanye West. Hey, speaking of weather and news, we're going to be going beyond the headlines coming up in the next segment. That's after we get a check of the news headlines with Laura. Also, traffic and weather coming up. Paul Douglas, Adam Carter on a Thursday afternoon. It's 4:31 on WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, welcome back. Jordana has the day off. She'll be back in the saddle tomorrow. Adam Carter was kind enough to join me today, and appreciate him contributing. Big fan. Not just saying that to be polite, Adam.
You know, Paul,
I am.
Thank you very much. I was just reminded of the fact that back years ago at a St. Paul Winter Carnival event, I was like 15, and I met you at the top of a building. We were watching the Winter Carnival fireworks. I was just I just thought about
I'd
that.
I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah. You slapped
was I sober?
Me. You slapped me. You said, get out of here, kid. I don't do autographs.
So I was in a good mood.
No, yeah, right. Don't look me in the eye, kid.
Did I come to your elementary school, little Adam?
No, you didn't. But, man, maybe I can talk you into coming to my daughter's elementary school.
You know what? I'd be happy to. I've kind of weaned myself off the school talks. Yeah. But,
I don't
be happy to.
You're not coming. You're not coming. You don't have to lie. You know, there's no way. It's just you and me. I mean, you don't have to lie to me.
I would do it. For you, I would do it. For her, I would do it. All right. Hey, not to forget about Michael and this cataclysmic storm that is impacting not just the Florida Panhandle, but it produced hurricane-force damage into much of Georgia. Big swath heading right up into the Carolinas. The last thing the Carolinas need is more rain, but the number of flood emergencies in effect right now. And the question came up, Adam, is it possible, and I think you raised this at the top of the show, could you build a disaster-proof home? And it's a timely question. A gentleman by the name of Sean Jennings lives in California, And he lives in the fire zone. He's close to the San Andreas Fault. He wanted to build a new home that was fireproof, earthquake-proof, and flood-proof. In his words, future-proof. His solution was to find a building material made of polystyrene foam, steel, and concrete. The interlocking 3D panels built by this company called RSG3D are placed over a welded wire truss system and then covered with a reinforced concrete outer layer. Now get this, according to this company, RSG3D, his home can withstand at least 2 hours of exposure to fire, an earthquake registering up to 9.0 on the Richter scale, and sustained 300-mile-an-hour winds. And Jennings calculated his home cost about 20% more to build than a wood frame home. And he put this to good use. The Valley Fire broke out last year, engulfed his home, broke the windows. There was some soot damage. He had to remove his furniture. He spent 2 days pressure washing, power washing the home, and then he moved all his stuff back in, went right back to living in it. He incurred about $72,000 worth of damage, while his neighbors with houses of similar value, well up into the hundreds of thousands of dollars, they were a total loss. So, you know, is it perfect? No, but can you build a much more durable, resilient, disaster-tolerant home? The answer seems to be yes, and I have a hunch that a lot of contractors out there are going to be asked, what can you do to lower the risk of my home being submerged in floods here in the upper Midwest? We don't have to worry about the fires. We certainly don't have to worry about the earthquakes. But every threat is an opportunity, and you can bet some builders out there are taking advantage of that right now.
And, you know, to be honest, 20%, it doesn't sound like it's that much more than building a regular home. I mean, 20% to keep it, you know, sustainable in that kind of environment. And you would think if more contractors get on board and start building homes like that, that would bring that 20% down. But that's remarkable, especially considering those powerful fires and that it was still standing after. That's remarkable.
Yeah, so, I mean, here we have to worry about tornadoes. They're rare, but if you really are paranoid, you could, in fact, build a tornado-proof home. Concrete, reinforced steel. Again, aesthetically, can you get it to look the way you want it to look? I have a hunch if you brought in the right architects, the answer is yes. But I thought this was interesting, and we'll keep our listeners up to date with the latest on that.
And another from the beyond the headlines here, Paul. Another thing in the news today is the stock market yesterday and today. Certainly, if you've got a lot of money in the stock market, probably are a little depressed today or yesterday. But it's nothing compared to Jeff Bezos. No billionaire was hit as hard by Wednesday's stock market plunge, which included the 832-point dive by the Dow, than Jeff Bezos during yesterday's sell-off. Did you see how much he lost in the stock market fall? Amazon founder and CEO Jeff Bezos lost more than $9 billion yesterday. Then again, that's what happens when you're the richest person in the U.S. Earlier this month, his net worth had reached $160 billion, according to Forbes. The Bloomberg Billionaires Index shows Bezos' total net worth is $145 billion, comfortably ahead of Bill Gates, who is a distant second at $93 billion. Gates did not escape yesterday's ugly trading day unscathed, though. He lost more than $2 billion, and Warren Buffett lost nearly $4.5 billion. Last week, Amazon, criticized for not giving employees a fair wage, announced it would raise the minimum wage for all employees to $15 an hour. So, yeah, while yesterday's stock market crash, at least probably hit a lot of people hard, probably not too many people want to look at the 401k statements after yesterday. It's nothing compared to Jeff Bezos. I think he's doing all right, though. I would imagine that kind of money falls out of his pocket.
Yeah, a billion here, a billion there. Before you know it, it's real money. But you're right. He probably has a few billion stashed away in the seat cushions. But, hey, it's just a paper loss unless you actually So
I'd like to have that paper in the first place, though.
These would be nice problems to have, you think. Hey, young people, millennials. They don't like to do things the way that, you know, their parents or grandparents did things. Certainly the baby boomers. They think there's a better way. I found it interesting, Adam, a story at Bloomberg caught my eye. Americans under the age of 45 have found a novel way to rebel against their elders. They're staying married. New data shows younger couples are approaching relationships much differently than baby boomers, many of whom married young, divorced, remarried, etc. Generation X and especially millennials are apparently much pickier about who they marry, tying the knot at an older age when education, careers, and finances are well on track. The result is a U.S. divorce rate that dropped 18% from 2008 to 2016. Fewer people are getting married, and those who do are the sort of people who are less likely to get divorced, according to the research. The quote that caught my eye, marriage is more and more an achievement of status rather than something that people do regardless of how they're doing. I remember when I got married at the age of 26, my wife was 24, and all her friends were kind of getting married in the mid-20s. But now it's not unusual for young people to wait till their 30s or later. Once they have their career set and they're kind of on track, I just found it interesting. The divorce rate is actually falling.
You know, and it's so I saw that statistic too, and I was wondering, and the just dismissing it right away. I'm saying, well, that must mean not as many people are getting married, and that is part of the story. But it is remarkable that the ones who are getting married are probably thinking much more about it and thinking, look, this is something. And you mentioned it. It's just like you. It was the thing to do, or it still for
right.
a lot of people is the thing to do. Well,
yep.
I'm 22 now. I've got my first job. Time to go find a wife. Time to go find a husband. That's
yep.
not the case anymore. A lot of people, you know, are focused on that career first, and then they meet the person at the right time, and suddenly their life's a little more stable. And finances have a lot to do with it too, I would imagine.
Because what the number one thing that, and I didn't believe this when my parents told me this, but the number one thing you're going to fight about is money.
Yeah.
I go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're right.
Exactly.
I mean, for most people, that's, you know, concern, stress over finances and paying the bills and what have you. So I get that. So it makes sense on some level if you're economically secure, you got a few years under your belt, and then you tie the knot rather than winging a prayer and taking a chance. But, hey, kudos to younger people for
absolutely
figuring that out.
Well, I'm staying with my Amazon theme today, Paul. This is from the Daily Mail. Amazon is scrapping its secret AI recruiting tool that didn't like women. Amazon's machine learning specialists uncovered a big problem. Their new recruiting engine did not like women. The team had been building computer programs since 2014 to review job applicants' resumes with the aim of mechanizing the search for top talent. Five people familiar with the effort telling Reuters, but the firm was ultimately forced to end the project after it found the system had taught itself to prefer male candidates over females. Amazon had
been
building computer systems since 2014 to help with job applicants' resumes. The experimental hiring tool used artificial intelligence to give job candidates scores ranging from 1 to 5 stars, much like shoppers rate products on Amazon. However, by 2015, the company realized its new system wasn't rating candidates for software developer jobs and other technical posts in a gender-neutral way. That's because Amazon's computer models were trained to vet applicants by observing patterns in resumes submitted to the company over a 10-year period, and most came from men, a reflection of male dominance across the tech industry. Well, the hiring tool used artificial intelligence to give those scores. Everyone wanted this holy grail, one of the people said. They literally wanted it to be an engine where I'm going to give you up to 100 resumes and it'll spit out the top 5 and we'll hire those. But they soon realized that they were looking at too many male resumes. So scrap that one.
Yeah.
Sadly, it's a reflection of society as a whole as they were kind of building the model to use that later on. And things have changed since they started to build that.
Yeah, the vast majority of programmers, computer programmers, are still male. That's changing. Can't change fast enough. But, wow. Yeah, artificial intelligence, yeah.
Slow your roll.
At the end of the day, it's men who are doing the programming, and it's funny how those biases show up.
Yeah.
where it's not funny.
Work out the kinks.
Adam, it's thank you. It's 4:49 Wicks and Jewelers time with special event pricing, expanded collection, and 0% financing. Wicks and Watch Fair is the best time to buy a watch.
I just want everybody to be happy. I want to win. I'm sorry if I go about it the wrong way. I really do apologize.
As Jimmy Butler, and the drama continues. Mike Max is here to talk about all things sports, but we're really focused on the Timberwolves. And Maxie, what's the latest?
Latest is I'm told he did not go to Milwaukee. So they're playing tomorrow, and yep. That would be a big telltale sign whether or not he's committed to this team or not. I don't know what the downside to him is playing. He can play with this team and still get traded if he wants. There's a discrepancy here, as you know, as to whether or not there was this players-only meeting today Butler had, or that they had. You know, initially, they were supposed to have practice. They canceled practice. A little bit of that is semantics, because in the NBA, if you hold a practice, then you have to meet with the media. The way they get around that is they make it an optional practice, and then you don't have to meet with the media, and you can almost accomplish the same thing. But I was told they changed it to kind of a lifting session, so it's possible that they could have all been in there and he held court or something like that. In other words, both sides could be right on this, but Jeff Teague said there was no players-only meeting, and I can't see Butler holding that unless he was thinking about coming back. And if he's thinking about coming back, then he should have gotten the damn plane and gone and played in Milwaukee.
Max, yeah, I'm exhausted.
And yeah, I know. I
think
I am
most
too.
Minnesotans are exhausted.
And Glenn Taylor's upset, and rightfully so. And lots of people may pay a price on this one.
Well, obviously a lot of people pointing fingers at Jimmy Butler, saying what a diva. I mean, obviously ESPN isn't just there. I mean, he certainly orchestrated the whole thing. But there's blame to go around here, right?
Well, for sure. When you brought him in, you knew he was a problem. And I'm sure that Thibodeau thought, I can change him because I didn't have him as a problem. Well, maybe he found a different player, because I think that as fame penetrated Jimmy Butler's body, he became a different person. Some do, some don't. And I think that he's become that kind of a guy. Last year, they told me all year, this guy's a diva. And I heard it time and time again from people inside over there. So don't be surprised he does this. The other thing, this is incredibly disrespectful, him to Thibodeau. Because he can still play with the team and get traded, so why he doesn't show up and play is beyond me.
Yeah.
Is he being paid?
Oh, yeah, he's being paid. They haven't fined him yet. At least as of this past week, they have the right to fine him if he's not at practices. They're not even fining him yet. They're so gung-ho on trying to get him to come back and play.
And the Vikings are over there saying, hey, no drama here,
Twins are going, we'll just look for a manager all by ourselves here.
Thanks, Maxie.
Wow. Thanks, guys.
4:57. We got plenty coming up next hour. We're going to be talking about Hurricane Michael and the devastation that left. Also, the stuff from Duluth yesterday. Stay tuned, WCCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.